Bienvenue au train des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car bonne la lente grande effort et l'esprit du bel an qui vivent tous les mondes et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
Welcome to Bizcast Ball, the Basketball Bizcast. My name is Corbin Smith. NBA Finals are here. So we've decided to There's only one person who makes this podcast. It's me. There's no we. Well, Caitlin did the theme song, of course. But anyway, the NBA Finals are here. And I have two guests to talk about either. Oh my God, I just got a text message. Let's check this out. Let's see. Okay. All right. Twitter notification. Just letting everybody in on what's going on with my phone. Anyway, we have two guests to talk about either side of the thing, but really to talk about almost anything else. In our second episode, which you'll see, I speak to Colin McGowan about the Cavaliers. But first, I've spoken to Jacob Greenberg about the Warriors. Jacob is the biggest Warriors fan I know on the internet. He's a proprietor of the Discs. He writes about the NBA, fun and good. He tweets. He does this. He does that. He's fun to talk to. So we had a little chat about the Warriors. Please enjoy. All right, I'm here with Jacob Greenberg. Jacob, you are the proprietor of the Discs.com.
Yep, that's me.
You are a behavioralist.
Yeah. Yeah, on my 9-to-5, I assess the behaviors of others and attempt to change them through environmental modifications, but usually I fail.
Oh, wow, that's hard to hear.
I've gotten used to it.
And you are a Warriors fan. Is this the case?
This is the case.
Born and bred in the Bay.
Born and bred in the Bay. I'm making air quotes. I live in the North Bay, which most people in the Bay Area probably wouldn't consider to be the Bay. They call it wine country. But yeah, we'll call it the Bay.
Wait, where do you? I thought you lived in Oakland, California.
My girlfriend lives in Oakland, California. I will be moving to Oakland, California. Oh. But right now I'm in my
Are y'all moving in together?
We are. We're taking the big step.
That's good. I'm glad to hear things are getting a little more adult in Jacob Greenberg's world.
Yeah. I will be I'll be living in sin, if you know what I mean. You can't see me winking. But yeah, no, I live in Santa Rosa, which is about 60 miles north. It's a fine place.
60 miles?
60 old miles.
60 miles.
60 miles.
So that's holy moly. That's a long way away.
And the place I work is 60 miles north of where I am. So
holy.
My life is stretched between 120.
So you'll get off work and then have to drive 120 miles to go see your girlfriend or whatever.
I don't usually when I move. Yeah, I will, but I won't have to do it all the time. I'll still have plenty of time to, I'll work from home 2 to 3 days a week and I'll be in school. So it'll work out. I've gotten used to driving. There's things you can do when you drive.
What do you do on the long drives, Jacob?
Oh, I listen to a lot of sports radio, truth be told.
And what sort of sports radio?
Well,
what are they talking about?
At the moment we're actually getting some Warriors talk, and that is kind of hard to do.
Been mostly a Giants city lately.
A Giant city and a Niners city. So I listen to KNBR, the 50,000 megawatt flamethrower that you can hear as far east as I've heard. Like, you can pick it up in Utah and you can hear it in Hawaii. It's a big station.
Utah.
It's a long way east. Holy moly. They are the Giants flagship. They are the Are they the Niners flagship? I don't know where. I think they are. And then they're also the Warriors flagship. But until very recently, the Warriors were always third. And even right now, it's you know, it's taken a while for the it took the Warriors becoming a very, very good team for them to share space with the Giants. And even now, Warriors games are broadcasted on the sister station 1050, while the Giants, who are playing ultimately meaningless regular season games, still get the flagship station.
Ultimately meaningless.
Ulti, you heard it. Yep,
Jacob,
I said it. Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, but you can't win the title, the pennant at the beginning of the season, but you can certainly lose it.
That's very true. But on the other hand, I think one of the Giants guys said there's 60 games you are going to win and 60 games you're going to lose, and it's the other however many left. I don't actually know how many games are in a baseball season.
There are 162 games in a baseball season.
That's good knowledge, Corbin.
Thank you. Yeah. I like baseball.
I like it too. I like it very I like it very bandwagon casually. I moved back to California right when the Giants were winning their second World Series. And so I had to play this, like, because I wanted to, like, fit in and feel like I was part of this whole thing. But I had just moved from Seattle. So I'm trying to, like, learn not just the team on the fly, but the sport of baseball on the fly. And I just messed it up all the time, forgot players' names, would try to, like, offer statements that ultimately mean nothing in a baseball context. So, but now I've got a few years in. I'm actually watching the Giants right now. They're losing to the Pirates.
Yarg.
Yarg.
Andrew McCutchen and his
He's a guy?
Pirates.
He's a guy. He's a guy on the Pirates.
He's a guy on the Pirates. He's got dreadlocks.
He does not. He cut him off.
Oh, I forgot about
that.
Oh,
I beat you in baseball knowledge. Who knows more baseball now?
Oh, no.
Heavy hitting stat. He's got 0.0 dreadlocks on his head.
Another stat.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning.
Do tell.
Is the Warriors' point differential.
Which is? You'll have to tell me.
Extremely high? The highest. Yes, the highest since the Jordan Bulls or some crap.
Go Dubs.
Which would suggest that going into this, there is reason to believe that the Warriors are the best team, the best NBA team in an incredibly long time. Which would say to me, I think of the two of us, I don't let on because I'm such a goofy fun time guy.
Yeah.
But I for real,
you have a dark side, I can tell.
Yeah, the dark side is that I put a lot of stock into statistics.
Oh no. I feel like oh, who's betrayed in a good way? I can't think of any great examples right now.
You can just say Brutus. It's fine.
Well, I couldn't even think of that, so I'll say it, Brutus. A2, Corbin?
Yes.
A2? Thanks for setting me up for that one.
No problem.
Yeah, man.
And so me coming into the finals, sitting here as a relatively objective partner, my only strong emotional connections in this whole series is that I have a weird, low-burning dislike of Klay Thompson, and I think JR is really great.
Did you know him?
No, he went to Washington, Washington State. I know people who maybe knew him.
Didn't he spend some formative years in Vancouver? Sorry, Washington.
Yes, maybe. I don't know. No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
I did not know Klay Thompson in a Vancouver, Washington context. I think maybe. Okay. Who else? There's somebody else. Will Barton? No.
I don't know.
Oh, that guy, the Blazers maybe drafted him. I can't remember. There was somebody.
Is he from Vancouver?
No, there's somebody who was from Vancouver, though.
Oh, okay. Huh. No. I only know that Klay. Though Klay was like in LA, and then I know he was out in. Where's that? Pullman? Pullman, he was out at Washington State.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pullman. Who? Who?
I'm supposed to care, but I never did.
Well, I went to Evergreen. I think you're all monsters. But...
Some of my favorite people on Earth went to Evergreen.
Yeah,
Consider yourself
like me,
like you
like Corbin,
and my and the good homie Jason Angelus. Shout out to Jason.
Shout out to Jason Angelus. Anyway, so as a objective observer who takes a lot of stock in statistics, it's hard for me to not sit across from this series and say to myself, it seems pretty clear that the Warriors are a superior team and have an extraordinarily good chance of winning this series.
I wouldn't say that's far-fetched.
To
but
the
there
point
are
where there... I can't imagine how they wouldn't win. Like, LeBron could be amazing and they could still win.
So yeah, I guess that's, and that's sort of what that is probably how it looks on paper. How, if that's how it's going to play out, I don't really know. It has been a long week, and I've seen many, many, many takes about what could happen. And there's little elements of truth in all of them, but if you're going by the numbers, yeah, I think that the Warriors are the favorite. But, you know, there,
but it
it's,
sounds like,
yeah,
judging from your tone, you have a lot of apprehension about saying that.
Well, I have a lot of, I'm a superstitious man. I'm a Warriors fan. And
oh,
I
by,
think,
by the way, I was wondering,
yeah,
on a certain level, do you feel like it's not really the Warriors without Monte?
No, I let Monte go a long time ago. Okay, it's not really the Warriors without Jason Richardson. If I could pull any like former Warrior who's still playing in the league back onto the team for just a victory ride, it would be Jay Rich. And if you polled most Warriors fans, I bet they'd offer him too. But, you know, I think people have let Monte go.
Sixers this year, that wouldn't have been too strange.
No, it wouldn't have been. I don't think it would be strange next year either. There seems to be, in the current regime, a pretty purposeful, almost denial of the past and a bit of revisionist history. Like, the funny thing about the Warriors this year, and I you know, yeah, the numbers say they're a historically good team. The numbers would indicate that they are a favorite. But from a larger historical perspective, one has to forget 20 years of ineptitude. And it's been funny, at least from the local perspective, of watching the Warriors try to dance their way around the fact that they were terrible for a long time.
Unbelievably
now,
bad. Even when they were good, they were almost immediately bad again for preventable reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were statistically speaking worse than the Clippers over a year period. And it's there's a stat for you. I think it's only percentage points. It was a while since I did that math, but yeah, no, the Warriors were terrible. And so I don't think that current ownership has been that keen on bringing back too many relics of the past. And they really want to focus on this, you know, pretty exciting, pretty competitive present. And I'm fine with that as a fan and a consumer. But Jay Rich can come back. He can come back. Anyways, yeah, I'm a superstitious guy, so I'm not going to make any predictions. The stats are very favorable. And I don't have experience for this. I've watched finals against LeBron James, and I've seen lots of different things happen in finals with LeBron. What have we had? 5 straight finals with LeBron.
This will be the
so
fifth, yes.
We've seen him be pretty, you know, disappointing in finals. We've seen him be transcendent in finals. We've seen him be individually brilliant, but his team fall flat. So I don't really know what sort of Eastern Conference team is going to show up. But based upon what I've read over the last week, people are giving them a chance. I've seen a lot of, you know, Cavs in 7, Warriors in 7, Cavs in 6, Warriors in 6. People think it'll be a long series, but I don't know. I am inclined. I've watched a lot of Warriors basketball, and it's getting harder and harder to trick myself that no, these are the Warriors I knew for, you know, the vast majority of my life, who will choke it away or, you know, do something stereo, you know, typically Warrior. You know, that doesn't seem to be the Warriors anymore.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Okay. Can you paint?
A little.
Okay, nice.
You're in your house watching with somebody.
Yep.
Say, road game.
Okay.
LeBron James has the ball above the three-point line. His defender gets shed somehow. Mm-hmm. LeBron charges the lane with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He drives into the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Bogut rotates to meet him at the rim. Assuming the Warriors are up 15, what do you want to happen?
What quarter is it?
Fourth. We'll go fourth.
How many fouls does Bogut have?
Two.
Sorry, am I ruining the painting? He has two fouls? Well, I want him to go up for it. And I want him to stop LeBron at the rim.
What?
Yeah, man. That's how I roll.
Oh, that was hard to hear.
That's how I roll.
You don't want to see, you don't want to see the man just, you don't want to see LeBron just wreck him.
Just wreck Bogut?
Yeah, just wreck Bogut. Like, no. If LeBron rose up, maybe there was some light, maybe there's just like a perfect light behind him. And then he just yanked down on Bogut, and Bogut like fell down.
See, you want me to look at your beautiful painting. I mean, objectively, I can say your painting is beautiful, but subjectively, I can say, it has too much LeBron. Right. I want more Bogut. Okay. I mean, playoff games have always been this really interesting thing. I suspect that most people would hate watching playoff basketball with me because I pace around the room, you know, I'm shouting, I'm cussing, and it's really, you know, in all other times, you know, where imagine you're sitting, you know, with your friends or sitting at a bar. I can't paint, so I won't try to paint a picture.
Okay.
And you're watching with another Blazers fan, and and Robin Lopez goes up for a shot, and you know, clearly gets blocked, and the other team starts a fast break. And the person you're watching with throws up their arms and says, "That's a foul!" And you saw very clearly that Robin Lopez was blocked. You didn't see any contact whatsoever. It's just this, like, dumb Blazers fan being a dumb Blazers fan. I used to hate that. I used to hate that. But now I am that. I have conceived of every single Warriors game as the worst officiated game in NBA history. Now, is it? No, absolutely not.
No.
But I have like fully convinced myself that this is the Warriors' year, and if anything goes wrong, it's criminal. It's criminal. And I've never been at that level of like almost primal, you know, subjectivity with a team. I'm just really into my Warriors right now. I've appreciated this break because, you know, there's no reason any like reasonable adult's heart should be racing about professional basketball, right? Like during all parts of the day while you're going to work, you know, while you're hanging out with friends, I'm just thinking about like, oh my God, what if we don't win the championship? Like this needs to be done. I need to be released.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
I'll be fine. Okay. Am I okay? I don't know. My girlfriend's worried about me.
Oh,
she
man.
Says she's worried about my heart. Like there are, if I allow myself small looks during games, I see looks of concern from the people around me. So from my loved ones, I only watch with my closest friends and confidants, and these are the people who care the most.
I mean, at least Bart, you should probably stop shoveling bacon grease out of a tub and eating it. Just
you know what? So during game, I forget which game it was. There were circus animal cookies. You know those little things, and I've actually been doing really good. I've been like trying to eat well and only eat like unprocessed food. But I was just so worked up that I was just shoveling circus animal cookies into my face, like little sprinkles all over the place. And Yeah, it I've become one of the worst versions of myself. So, yeah, it's been a great playoffs.
Oh,
Really,
cool. Great. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, great, but you're going? Are you excited?
I'm going. I it is a legitimate bucket list item. It was to just go to any NBA Finals game.
But this happened to me.
You went?
Oh no. Oh, I went to some Blazers. I covered some Blazers games.
That's pretty cool. I've never covered a game.
Yeah,
Maybe someday.
it's fun.
But
They
yeah,
give you
I've
free. They give you free food, and you get to
I've
learn some stuff about which media members need to use the toilet at halftime.
What'd you eat?
There was bread pudding the first day.
Was it
That
good?
oh, it was great.
Yeah, I love bread pudding.
Yeah.
What was it, a pasta thing as an entree, or do they give you like little snacks?
Oh no, there were several entrees.
Several?
Yeah,
Like what?
yeah. Well, there's like a chicken one, a pork one, and then the vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian, so I would have the
Right.
vegetarian. I covered two games. The first one stunk, and the second one was fun.
I have a hard time like working at night. That's my main objection to ever working in the NBA is that I would be have to be thinking about like my livelihood at 9:30 p.m. And to me, that seems unreasonable.
I liked working at night like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think I did.
Interesting.
I don't know if I could do it all the time, but in the shallow context,
Well,
I had a good time.
maybe I'll try to get media credentials for the Warriors. I bet nobody's trying to do that right now with this team.
Last
What was
night, last night on Twitter.com,
Yeah, I think I've been there.
Jay Mariotti, who's the worst,
I
was
read
like, I don't know, he was going on one of these fits, and he was like, I'm gonna stop talking about this right now. I have to go cover the NBA Finals tomorrow. It's just like, homie, 2,000 dudes are gonna cover the NBA Finals. I covered an NBA playoff game, and I am literally America's dirtbag.
Oh man, you bro you I lost you for about 20 seconds, but you came right back in at I'm literally America's dirt bag, so I think I can fill in the rest. Yeah. Yeah, he did you read the piece that he wrote about Draymond Green?
No, what'd he say?
Oh, you know, he actually so he a lot of people have been digging up Draymond Green's old tweets. And he you know he has said he said things about LeBron. He did use homophobic. He was homophobic in the tweets. And Jay Mariotti offers this take where essentially it's he's like, you know, this is shame on him. It's awful. What a terrible thing. But we can't come at people for saying things 5 years ago when they didn't know what would happen. But shame on him. Terrible. And it was just like the perfect like crap sandwich. Like Jay Mariotti doesn't even know what he's arguing. He doesn't know whether he should be like ripping this guy for having said stupid stuff 5 years ago or for like writing off flippant Twitter behavior in the past is just that, and owning up as an adult. But basically, he was just trying to throw as many like these are things that I observe while surfing on Twitter type things. I don't know. That wasn't a very good point, but I agree with your point that Jay Mariotti's a dillweed.
Another dillweed.
Yeah.
Hear these transitions, Jacob?
Say what now?
I said another dillweed. Then I said, you hear these transitions, Jacob?
Oh yeah, that's top notch.
They're unbelievable. These are the best transitions in the business,
I
Jacob.
know. I know. This is I haven't
Oh
stopped
my, oh my God, you're not gonna believe who just walked into my room. The
saying
president of
that.
FIFA, Sepp Blatter, and he just handed me a gold bar because my transition was so good.
That's nice. I hear he doesn't like anyone.
I know, but he likes me.
Yeah,
Because I'm the
well.
only one at Vice not saying mean things about him in print.
Heyo.
Ayo. Another dillweed, Rick Barry.
Oh, the dillest of
To the
dillweeds.
extent that I have an aggressive rooting interest for the Warriors, it really is because I want you to be free.
Oh yeah.
Do you feel this? Yeah.
We all do. We all do. I mean, and that is, you know, that is one of the larger dynamics in this entire thing, is that the vast majority of, like, Warriors fans who have been vested in the team have no recollection of that 75 team or Rick Barry. Most of those fans, I assert, you know, got old and stopped caring, and it, and that's fine. There's no reason you need to invest your time and money into an inferior product. And Rick Barry just is, you know, the history of his racism has been long chronicled. He's really just one of the most unpleasant aspects.
It's horrible.
About it's horrible. And it was always awful to have a bad team, and then to have this guy be your sort of representative in the pantheon of stars. And it just, you're like, ugh. So yeah, the best part about this is, you know, if the job gets completed against the Cavs, Steph Curry ostensibly unseats Rick Barry as the Warriors' greatest player of all time. And it also, and people would love that, you know, a younger generation would love to, you know, most people don't, I'll assert that most Warriors fans, unless you're really, really, you know, if you've been following over the, a lot of Warriors fans came on in 2007 with We Believe, and they've kind of hung on since then. Most of them probably have no clue who Rick Barry is. They might know him as the guy who scolded Warriors fans when they booed Lacob a few years back. And their probably thought is, you know, who's this old guy? And that's sort of, you know, I'm pretty knowledgeable of Warriors history and the history of the game. But still, my thought is, who is this old guy? Like, what, how does he speak for this franchise? What sort of legitimacy does he have? And the only legitimacy he has is he was the best player on the team that won a championship. So if we win a championship, at least he'll be out of the picture.
I watched one of those old games that Rick Barry was in. It's very unpleasant to watch.
He's not a fun player to watch.
No.
I mean, somebody, I saw somebody compare him to a prototypical Kobe Bryant, and I sort of liked that. You could see that, like, when he helped out his teammates, there is some aspect of his language where he really wanted to be acknowledged that that happened. And if you listen to his interviews, he goes out of his ways to just talk about, you know, my thing was setting up my teammates for scoring opportunities. It's like, oh, come on. Like, man, Rick.
Rick. And he Rick. Made John, too.
You know, John is about as offensive as a jar of mayonnaise.
Oh,
to
no,
me.
I hate John Barry. I've been paid money to write about how much I dislike John Barry.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess for whatever reason, his, you know, I really do hone in on what Reggie says. I don't hate Reggie, but I don't think that I don't like him as a broadcaster. I guess I've just gotten used to John Barry, sort of doughy, unoffensive, kind of bland.
Well, I think he's mean. I think John Barry is, like, really mean.
What is a mean thing that he says? I don't think I've listened.
It's not, like, mean. It's just, like, he's got, like, that... He's just got, like, this white dude Van Dyke Breaking Bad dickishness about him.
Well, he is a Barry.
But Brent's nice. I've always said Brent went to therapy.
Yeah, you know, Brent climbed trees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember Brent Barry...
Brent did drugs.
Yeah, Brent smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah.
Like, Brent played for the Sonics. He wrote this pretty nice poem when the Sonics were moving away, where he kind of goes through all of these things he liked to do in Seattle. And basically all of the verses are boiled down to, oh, I smoked pot here, I smoked pot here.
Unbelievable marijuana.
Had a beer and smoked pot here. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, Seattle can be fun. But yeah, Brent is a little chill. You know, there's a much, much younger Barry who's playing, I think Rick, he must have another wife, and he had another kid.
Oh, he must have another wife.
And this...
Rick Barry had a second wife?
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Pack your bags and get out of town. But no, this kid plays, I don't know, at some college somewhere. He's good, you know, he's a Barry. But when Rick gets on the radio, he has a fairly standing spot to get back to sports radio. And he comes on the radio and just sort of berates, like, people and things, just sort of shouts. And
he's angry.
But he talks a lot about this younger kid he has and talks about how good he is and stuff like this. So you should look him up on YouTube. He's a, you know.
Crouton Barry.
Crouton. That is it. His name probably is Crouton.
Probably Crouton.
Oh, jeez.
I want to talk about Reggie for a second since he came up.
Reg.
I've grown to feel vaguely affectionate towards Reggie.
Of course you have.
Because he's just silly.
Dog, that's just, I cannot handle.
He's just
silly. Oh, he's feeling it. He's feeling it. You can hear him. You can hear him grabbing his whoever he's broadcasting with. He's on fire now. And they're just like moving away. He's like, stop touching me, Reggie. Yeah,
You know what, Jacob? I'm going to object to your premise here. If Reggie was in the room with you, and he started going, he is heating up, and he grabbed your arm, you would be so into it.
He's
Reggie Miller, Jacob.
Would, yeah. You know, he was the perfect heel of the late 90s.
He's arguably the first modern basketball player on a certain degree.
So my Reggie theory, I've shared this, I think, with, I forget, maybe it was Chris Feinrich, Finrich, Feinrich. Dancing with Noah.
Yes.
And
Seattle Zone.
Seattle Zone Dancing with Noah. He's from Iowa. What I thought about Reggie, and you know, maybe this is just the narrative that I bought from that Winning Time documentary, but it seems like the people hating him was a true motivating factor for Reggie. Like, it helped them play better when he knew that everybody around him despised him. And my thought is that this actually motivates him. He knows that people think he's a louse and that he's the worst broadcaster and they have no idea why he's TNT. Like,
I think John is worse. Reggie, if you're listening, I think you're perfectly pleasant and John Barry is horrible.
John, if you're listening, I hate your dad.
John, if you're listening, your dad's the worst. You probably know that at least on some level.
You're just ignoring what Brent tells you. No,
he's fine. He's fine. What are you talking about, Brent?
We had great times, Brent.
We had great times together, Brent.
Do you remember the games?
He was a winner, Brent.
But Reggie, you know, I have hot broadcasting takes, man. I've struggled with all of the national broadcasters. I'm actually really, really, really looking forward to. Yeah, but I am looking forward to Breen Jackson and Van Gundy calling the finals. It's been, you know, I perceive that Jackson is actively trying to, we'll say, turn the other cheek. But he is very unhappy about how these things have turned out. I mean, I know he cried. I know he said he was proud, but it doesn't feel good for him. I have a different opinion, I think, than most of Mark Jackson.
Yeah, how did you feel when Jackson got fired?
I thought he got a raw deal.
Okay.
I did. I have found a space. It's not a happy medium, but I have found a medium where I can say Mark Jackson got a raw deal, but the Warriors nailed his hire. And Steve Kerr has done a masterful job with an already good team. But no informed Warriors fan can deny Mark Jackson his due. Like, you know, those who watched a lot of bad basketball were treated to a culture change and an atmosphere change. And it was a really good thing to watch. I mean, was it like that when didn't the Blazers go 41-41? And there was like this perceptible change, like, oh, the bad days are over. And then the next year, I think they won like 50 games. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. But it was good.
But it's the same way. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, eventually, like, Nate's style was incompatible with modern patterns. Right. So they had to get rid of Nate. And then they got Stotts. And Stotts is certainly a better strategic coach than Nate.
He is. And, you know, and I think that with the Warriors, you know, Jackson did that work. And then they hired somebody else. I made the argument last year that race probably did plays a role in sort of a macro perspective, and that what you generally see is that the culture change part, where a coach takes a bad team and usually teaches them how to play defense and teaches them accountability, and then they start getting into the 40s for wins. You know, over the last like 15 years, a lot of time that has been an African-American coach, and then almost like textbook that coach is fired for a coach to sort of finish the job. And at that point, you know, it got a little bit more murky how race was a dynamic in it. But at that time, I viewed the firing in that light, and I still see it in that way, but undoubtedly it's a harder position to stake
because of how good they've been under Kerr.
Right. Yeah, how good they've been under Kerr. And then sort of the way that I feel that emotions have come into play. Like, you can definitely see that Mark Jackson was not having a good time at work last year. And I don't think that other people were having a good time working with him. And, you know, the assistant coaching, the firing of Scalabrine and Darren Erman, all that stuff is pretty well documented. It doesn't seem like Jackson created a culture of, like, it didn't seem like Jackson was fitting in with what was going on at the workplace. And why that was, I wasn't there, you know, I can't really say. But it's all very, I think that watching Jackson, listening to Jackson call these games, you will actually get a very rare glimpse into, like, this sort of very, a lot of emotions, disappointment, anger, pride. And one of the things I appreciated about Jackson, I think that the media around here hated how he was so flippant. But this was, like, a dude who wasn't out there to, like, make a lot of friends. He was saying what he believed, and I know people think of him as a jerk and stuff like that, and I've just always appreciated, like, I've appreciated that type of emotion in people, not necessarily with him. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to see, like, Mark Jackson deal with this. I think it'll be, you know, I watch the NBA in a weird way, and that's something that I'm very excited to hear.
It's funny that you mentioned Jackson's relationship with the media. Because something that has struck me, to the extent that I've paid attention to it, is that it seems like Kerr is, like, fucking amazing at talking to reporters.
Yeah.
Like, he might already be the best in the NBA at, like...
I mean, he worked in media for, what, 10 years?
Yeah.
He's like...
He kind of, like, plays both angles, because they always say about Popovich that, like, when the microphone's not on, he's real gregarious, and he, like, remembers people's names and shit about them and stuff. But then, like... He, like, puts on the Herzberg
right
thing when he gets on.
I hate Popovich apologists, by the way.
I think it's funny.
You're a pop guy.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, that's fair.
What do I care about people's feelings?
Fair. Yeah, Steve Kerr gives a really, really great press conference. Like, you know, you go through his life and you realize, wow, this guy is just, you know, he's been basically the best at everything he does. Like, you know, he's a great student, great athlete, was a very, you know, he wasn't the best player on the floor, but he was, like, you know, an excellent role player. You know, there's so many role players who have played in the NBA, and it's very rare that you'll remember one, or there'll be, like, a star role player. And Steve Kerr was, like, a star role player, that he's a great GM, and then he was a really good broadcaster, and yeah, he's a really good coach. I mean, so when he gets up there, he's very polished, he knows what he's going to say, he's very gracious, I watch the post games most nights, and yeah, he's sort of like the guy. Yeah, I'm on that level.
I attended one while I was covering the Blazer game. Wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
No.
This is the main thing I can tell you. In the game, the Grizzlies lost.
Yeah.
Marc Gasol walked in.
Yeah.
He walked past me. He walked up to the table, and he goes, "Ay, ay, ay." And then he sits down. It is like super exhausted.
See, if I was sitting there, I would just be deflated. Like, if somebody looked at me and he's just like, "God, I don't want to see a single one of you people right now," I would just be like, "Well, okay." Like, I wouldn't know what to say. This is why I enjoy my position on the couch. It allows me to create, you know, continually, you know, keep these players as these, like, sort of not real...
Abstractions,
these little, like, escape portals for me, and not, like, the guy who's really tired and just, like, wants to get on the bus, get on the plane, whatever, listen to his beats. Anyways, wait, what were you talking about? Yeah, Steve Kerr seems like sort of like the professor you'd really love to have, and he gives a good lecture, and you go to the office hours, and he like remembers you and like remembers what you like to study and like suggests stuff and gives you stuff. Like, yeah, he seems like an awesome boss. And in a way that Mark Jackson just definitely wasn't.
It'll be weird to see what happens if the Warriors are bad again and he's still the coach.
I'm very interested. What we saw with the Thunder is that they had very little patience. They never even let it get to that point.
But I mean, Kerr, it seems like, is almost certainly a better coach than...
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Brooks.
Yeah.
He is, at the very least, better at putting himself in a position to succeed.
Certainly. No, I don't see a scenario where... the Warriors or gives up on Kerr in a quick fashion.
I could see the other way around happening.
Like Kerr go somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Kerr could go to San Antonio.
Sure.
Not to poach your coach and send him to Texas.
Yeah, clearly it's like the most emotionally distressing thing of my day.
Did you have a hard day, Jacob?
I actually didn't. It was a fine day. So was it the most emotionally distressing thing of my day? Maybe it was.
Wow.
Screw you, Corbin. How dare you not care about my feelings. I could totally see that happening, like, way down the road. But this is where the old Warriors fan experience comes in. Because if you're a longtime fan... you might almost expect that to happen down the road. But right now, I just got to look, you know, just looking at what's in front of me. Our best player seems like a really good player. Our coach seems really good. The GM seems really good. The owner seems invested. It'll be interesting to see what the next, you know, 10 years look like. I don't know what makes the Spurs... between 2000 and 2015, and what makes like the Mavericks of 2000 to 2015. Like, I think there were opportunities for the Mavericks to win 2, 3, 4 championships, you know, maybe not as many as the Spurs, but they only won one and they lost to finals. And it really is this kind of cruel mix of luck and management and, you know, when injuries are timed and who you're playing. And so, you know.
What's so weird about the NBA as opposed to other sports?
Hmm.
You have to be so good to win a title.
Oh, you have to be so good.
Like a team doesn't win the title and you look at that team and say, "Oh yeah, they had fatal flaw." Like baseball who gives a shit who wins a World Series. Like
who? Yeah, nobody. I mean, and that's why baseball hurt. You don't remember who wins. I mean, I remember because it's the Giants. But it's like you know.
Like you remember, but you remember. But if it like you put it up to a microscope, it's just like Oh, they lucked into it.
Yeah, they lucked into it.
Or
and,
even in football, because they just play one game.
And I think that, you know, what people shorthand as the NBA is great because the best team always wins. I like that because it typically means the product is good.
Yeah.
And so...
These playoffs have not been great, but...
That's what everybody says. Again, this is kind of like...
I guess you're in a tunnel and you don't
see... I have been horse blinded since... You know, at least December. Or I've had horse blinders on. It's just the, you know, yeah, the cream does, the talent does rise to the top. And so that's why I think this year is just so, at this point, it has become like a championship or bust thing. Because, like you say, it is so hard to get to this point. It is so hard to get all of those pieces to fall into place. And right now, you know, back to the Cavs on paper, there are more things that the Warriors should take advantage of. No Kevin Love, injured Kyrie Irving, ostensibly a shallower bench than the Warriors, though I'm sure Cavs fans would disagree. Without making a prediction, this is a winnable series, and if the Warriors don't win it, it will be rough.
How would you feel if J.R. Smith scored 50 points in a game?
I'd say, well, that's the Warriors. All right. And that's the other part of it, too, is because, you know, if you've been a Warriors fan for a while, you have a whole database. You have this whole, like, you know, veritable, you know, Library of Alexandria of bad experiences of different ways the Warriors could lose a game. There's, like, the have a big lead and then blow it in the final seconds. There's the outright blowout that you're never in. There's, you know, injured player and the emotional letdown. Like, there's lots of ways to lose a game, and the Warriors have lost all of them over the last several years, but not this year. So, I don't know. I don't know how for the Cavs to beat the Warriors, it'll take, again, it'll take a mix of, I think, Warriors playing bad, pretty incredible individual performances from LeBron, like every single game, and then those kind of transcendent performances from role players that you end up talking about for a long time, you know, like, you know, Danny Green, or I don't know, I can't think of any of those, so maybe that was a bad example. Didn't Danny Green hit like a ton of
threes? But they actually lost that series.
Oh, that was 2013. Yeah. That's right. We had the same finals 2 years in a row. Yeah. That's the other side of having the best team wins.
That was fucking excellent finals.
It was. 2013 was magnificent.
Excellent excellent semifinals too. That Heat Pacers series, I was a big fan
underrated.
Of that
series. It was a 7-game series, right?
It was.
Yeah,
the
underrated
was
series.
Not good, but...
No, it
wasn't. But there were some unbelievable games in that series. And I had an affection for the Pacers coming out of that. And I wanted to see it again, and then they collapsed.
I've always had a strange affection for the Pacers. I think it comes from the 2000 finals when everybody hated the Lakers. And
how could you not? They're terrible.
And actually that year I was a Warriors fan, but my playoff team was the Blazers. I was super into the Blazers because Scottie Pippen was on the Blazers
that
year.
Thank you.
I don't need to remind you what happened in Game 7.
It means a
lot. But at that point, I put my full heart, body, and soul into the Pacers. And ever since then, I've sort of enjoyed that team. I have the We Believe Warriors happened because of a trade that got us Steven Jackson and Al Harrington, so...
Was that a malice clear out, or was that a?
That was the Pacers exercising. Do you exercise a demon? No, that's like working out a demon. You excise a demon?
I believe you excise a demon.
Okay. Yeah. That was them getting rid of the last of that. Exercising a demon. Now I'm thinking of a demon on a treadmill.
Is it a cute demon or like a demon?
It's like a demon.
Okay, like demon.
It's actually like it doesn't need to be on a treadmill. It's doing it to maintain its great physical shape.
Is it a swole demon?
It's swole. Okay. Well, more lean, like a lean muscle, lean mean muscle.
Compare this demon to an NBA player.
Oh, you're not gonna like it, Klay Thompson.
No, I do like it.
Yeah.
Because that's what Klay Thompson is, a demon.
He's a demon. Why don't you like Klay Thompson? What's your soft
take? I didn't like him more last year because of the way Jackson used him. And I was just like, don't you realize this is over? Like, I just felt like he was a relic of a bygone era. But now he's just like a shooter guy. So.
He just like used him like a person who doesn't know how to play 2K. They just like move the player to a spot in the floor. And
yeah, Mark, play a little NBA Jam.
Just like press shoot. I like Klay. He's the player who I think most Warriors fans probably get the most frustrated with him. Is my guess, just because he's the one who like sometimes doesn't play along with the whole Warriors ball movement, keep the ball moving around type stuff. Like the ball sometimes goes to him and just sticks. But you know, if he hits the shot, who cares?
I like watching Draymond.
Draymond is he's something, yeah.
Yeah, he's something. Hey, wait, Michael Thompson. Sorry, what is the hottest take you've heard? You're in Warriors land.
I am Warriors land.
What is the hottest shit you heard about Thompson's concussion?
Oh, it has to be that his brain was bleeding. that the blood was coming out of his ear. That was like a big thing for a while. It's like, I cannot believe the Warriors organization. Peter Vesey was tweeting about like how awful Kerr was, that he was going to let him play with his blood coming out of his ear. It's like the cut was on the outside of his ear. And I generally, I don't know. I stayed away from it because I didn't want to be like perceived as like a homer protecting the, a bad medical staff. That was, you know, about to send a person with a concussion in to play basketball. But it just didn't seem like that's what actually, like, it didn't seem like any of the Warriors organization was, like, saying, he doesn't have a head injury. So that was the hottest take I heard, that his brain was bleeding and that the Warriors training staff was, like, going to send him in to play basketball with a bleeding brain. Concussion sucked, though.
The other day.
Yes.
This is a leading question. I'm not going to beat around the bush.
No, it's fine.
The other day I was listening to the podcast CM Punk did. The wrestler CM Punk.
Okay.
Did, where he aired out the WWE for like 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
I don't like wrestling. I want to make this perfectly clear. But that podcast is one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Because like you get a sense of like, this guy who's kind of talented and is really this guy is kind of a dick, but he's also probably right about all this stuff. But one of the things he talks about pretty extensively is how he would get head injuries, and they would give him a test and they would say, no, you don't have a concussion. And he would be like, no, I'm not dumb. I know when I have a concussion.
Right.
And in listening to that while the Thompson stuff was going on, it really made me think about if we really know how well concussion tests work.
Here's what I will say. I don't know how concussion tests work. I have never had a concussion.
I have had a concussion.
It seems like it's pretty miserable.
It sucks. It sucks a lot of ass.
Klay Thompson today said that he feels good. He's well on his way. He expects to play game one. Now, is that him talking, or is that what the team has ordered him to say? You know, it's really sort of hard to say. You know, there has been a general history in the NBA of teams pushing their players to play in basically
compromised situations.
Yeah, in compromised situations, so essentially forcing their players to work in unsafe working conditions. This was an issue last year with Bogut and Jackson. And I hope I tell this story right. I think so. Last year, Bogut broke his ribs. Actually, broke his ribs against the Blazers, right?
Sounds right. I don't know. Probably. I don't remember.
And He breaks his ribs, and
who on the Blazers would have broken a dude's ribs?
Rolo. I believe it was Rolo.
Okay, that sounds right. He's dirty. He walks around town beating people up. People don't know that.
He just looks
outside
like
outside of Portland, but
he just walks around and like
marauds.
Like Morris twin style with two twins, one just beats the other one, like breaks the cameras in the room. Did you read about that? Yes, the Morris twins?
Yes.
Yeah, just ridiculous. I didn't hear about that. Bogut broke his rib and was diagnosed for being out for the playoffs. And so he didn't play in the playoff series against the Clippers. At the time, this is what Bogut said, that at the time he was getting pressure from the coaching staff, actually, that he should play. And the way Bogut sort of said was, well, they knew that if they lost this series, they were all going to lose their jobs. So
it did happen.
And it did happen. So what they viewed it as, what the coaching staff and then teammates who were allied with the coaching staff viewed Bogut was doing, was like by not playing was sort of casting his lot for the firing of Jackson and his staff.
Which
is like, so you see a lot of this back and forth between Jackson and like Jackson and Bogut, and there's a lot of passive aggressive.
Seem like Bogut did not want Jackson to continue working there.
No, he certainly did not. And then, you know,
and
the way
Ben has been really catty about it.
He really, like, Bogut did not appreciate Mark Jackson's coaching.
I just say, it's just the way that Bogut has gone about this. Are you sure you don't want to see LeBron dunk on him?
I will agree with you that Bogut has, in his praise of Steve Kerr, is less praising Steve Kerr and more,
it's good,
like,
it's
throwing...
Good.
It's good that, you know, to have
to have a balanced guy around here.
Yeah, you know, values opinions and has smart assistants who aren't assholes. You know, yeah, you know, it's, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, apparently there was some tension between Bogut and his teammates, even like the teammates who thought that, you know, Bogut was sort of not supporting their coach like he should have been. So anyways, yeah, I could totally see I could see a scenario where somebody says to Klay Thompson, yeah, you're fine, you're good, just go out there. And I hope not, though. I don't know what else to say besides that. I hope not. I hope that's not the case. Johan, the medical staff, the Warriors medical staff has had a rough go of it for a long time. They are not well regarded locally, and I think, you know, sometimes it seems for good reason. They really struggled with Steph's ankle for a long time, obviously. It is generally regarded, my favorite thing about, so the first year in 2013, they had this commercial locally where they showed all the Warriors like doing work, like running sprints and doing pull-ups and, you know, throwing the medicine bag. And there's a shot of Bogut, who at that point hadn't played any games yet for the Warriors because he was injured. And it showed him sprinting and lifting weights and throwing medicine ball. And then he proceeds to play two games and then is sidelined for the next 50 games. And the Warriors said, like, oh, he has an ankle issue. And he came out on his own and said, no, I had microfracture surgery. And it is generally thought that they rushed Bogut back against Bogut's wishes. Some people think that it was Jackson who did this, and this is sort of like Jackson and Bogut already started off on a bad foot. So they're, you know. I laughed. I started coughing.
A bad foot.
It was. I'm a witty guy. In any case,
I'm gonna keep that cough in. There's nothing you can do.
Please do. You know, the Warriors, if people are wary of the Warriors, you have reason to be, probably, because the Warriors haven't always been truthful or forthright or very smart about their players' injuries. I don't know if it was the same training staff. I honestly don't, between 2013 and now. I think it was. So, yeah, I hope Klay Thompson's okay. I will say that if he doesn't play, I still think it's a winnable series for the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I still think it is.
I think I don't want to – look, I don't want to say this because I don't want to – I think that the Warriors are prohibitive favorites and the series will not be as long as people think it will be.
I see a lot of Warriors in seven. If the Warriors can do what I've seen them do, it should be two games quick at home, and then at that point it's just kind of what way does it get to five or six games?
And LeBron is unbelievable, but and like no wing defender can slow LeBron down, but comprehensive team defenses are the thing that irritates him.
Yeah. And I think we'll win
especially
the battle.
Especially ones that have big men.
Yeah. And, you know, the Warriors gang rebound. Like that's one of our best things that we do. We'll be on the boards. I think we will show. I think it'll be stretches in the second quarter where the Warriors bench is really sort of putting the Cavs on the ropes. And then at that point, you know, I'm not that worried about a J.R. Smith 50 game. Like, I'm really not that worried. So,
scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
How worried are you about Dellavedova? Not worried like Deli's going to go off, but...
like he's going to wreck Steph?
That he's sharpening his knives.
He keeps a little blade hidden in that mouthpiece of his. I'm not terribly worried about Matthew Dellavedova. I'll put it at a 6.
It's more than replacement level worried.
Oh, well, if you put it that way, then I'm firmly at a 4.5. Like, there are things I'm more worried about.
Oh, it's a D+ worried.
It's a D+ worry. There are other aspects of the Cavs that I'm more worried about.
Okay.
Foul trouble could be really wretched for the Warriors. And that has happened to us at times. Luckily, I got to stop saying us. I don't play for the Warriors.
Yeah,
that
on,
has
man.
Happened to the Warriors at times. But no, Dellavedova. I'm trying to think, has there been any... because it happens in the playoffs where it's like one guy sort of like gets this momentum, the sort of media momentum around him.
As a thugman.
Sort of.
As
I guess
goonman.
I guess a little bit of Tony Allen in the first series, but then Tony Allen got hurt. So yeah, we could have that element, and Dellavedova played college in the East Bay, so there's a local element to it.
St. Mary's is in the East Bay.
It is. Moraga.
I don't know where anything is. Have you ever seen Tony Allen play in person?
No, I don't think I
You'd remember. You'd remember.
Sorry. Did I? No, I have. Have I seen the Grizzlies? No, I haven't seen Tony Allen play
in person. That dude has an aura, man.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in what way?
He's intense.
Yeah.
First off, we never stops moving, right?
I didn't, but
yeah,
I
he does never.
You.
He stands on the sideline and waves and cheers and claps, and like after stops, he gives himself a little pat on the back.
That's awesome.
He's incredible. He's unbelievable to watch in person.
I liked him. Like even when he was jacking up Clay, I didn't mind him.
He really stuck at the Clay, right? And if I remember correctly.
The first two games.
Yeah.
The first two games he really gave Clay fits. I think the first game 3 too. Yeah, Tony Allen, he was
that lost. Clay is the exact kind of player Tony just like
eats up.
Yeah, eats him alive.
Sure.
Kevin Martin. I once watched him hold Kevin Martin to no points.
Kevin Martin. I have seen Kevin Martin play live.
Not fun.
I think he went like as it was a Wolves game. I think he went like 5 for 16. It wasn't a pretty night for Kev Martin.
Did you go to their Wolves game this year?
I went to their Wolves game last year.
Tickets are expensive. How do you feel about these expensive tickets? This is the last thing.
I feel what, Warriors tickets or just NBA tickets in general?
Warriors
or like
tickets.
Finals tickets?
Warriors tickets. Just in general.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's...
That's the worst part about the team being good.
Yeah, and but it's been a slow ascent. And all of this, of course, is culminating to the Warriors moving across the bay to their new arena. That's emblematic of a lot of things happening in the Bay Area right now with its, you know, with the sports and, well, with the professional sports teams and what type of fan bases the owners are trying to attract. There is this very, it does seem to be that the Warriors, if not intentionally trying to price out the fans, are trying to welcome in a different type of fan into this fan base. And, you know, no better way to do it than to go to the NBA Finals. So, yeah, I've gotten used to paying these prices. But I, you know, there will be an end point. Like, my love for the team will not be comparable. You know, I won't let, like, larger life things I want to do be totally compromised. Like, I'm not going to pay, like, $100 regular season tickets. And I don't think that that's far away. Already it was like $50 for your cheapest regular season tickets. So that's the most I've ever paid.
Yeesh.
And I won't even talk about the finals tickets, but
it's bad, right?
It's bad. It's bad.
You okay?
I will find creative uses for the multiple like starches in my house. Rice can be cooked. You can have rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Did you know?
I didn't.
It happens.
Not a lot of protein there, Jake.
No, when I studied abroad in Sri Lanka, I was having rice, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Did you get protein deficiency or?
I ate protein.
Jacob, you're not a vegetarian, right?
No, I don't eat a lot. No, I'm not a huge meat eater, but
you could hunt squirrels.
I can't. I can't hunt.
You can't hunt?
No, that would involve me, like, participating in the act of, like, animal. I'd rather my animals appear in plastic wrap, unrecognizable from their cute furry form. That's what makes me a jerk. Sorry, Corbin.
It's okay. One more thing. How scared of death do you think Michael Jordan is?
At this point, that guy just doesn't sleep. He is so afraid of death, or he's just like so – he has to take so many Xanax or whatever to just fall asleep. That man is just mortified of his own mortality. I half thought, like when Jordan was saying, like he was like, I might come back at 50, and people laughed at him. And he's like, oh, don't laugh. You don't know what might happen. I was so praying for Jordan to try to make a comeback at 50. Or not, like, fully come back, but, like, get to, like, the preseason and realize, like, he's, like, a fat guy who would just rather play beer pong, like, than play professional basketball and get on a plane and do, like, post-game pressers and shit like that or stuff like that. So, yeah, I think Michael Jordan thinks of death all the time. What do you think?
I think he's not thinking. I think he's keeping it at bay. But I think that it must loom so large because it truly is the only thing that he'll have no chance of defeating.
Yeah, it's true. There was something I saw a picture of him on Twitter the other day. He was watching something and he was with that like crew of guys that Jordan is always with. They all look like
Oakley and pals.
Yeah, like Oakley and like the dudes he picked up from the last Hanes commercial he was in. Just like, oh, come over to my mansion and party with me. But he's sitting there in like some really uncomfortable looking room with these guys. Like these all like 45 to 55 year old men, and they're just surrounded by like junk food, and Jordan like has a cigar near, and it's like it's clear like of all like, you know, Jordan isn't eating that well. You know, he might work out a little bit, but he's just like definitely going into middle age, like full middle age. And I just get the sense that it's going to become more and more unhappy for him as it goes on. And, well, maybe he'll come back at 60. Maybe that'll be his final stand against death, that he'll try to, like, come back to the NBA at age 60.
And then he'll die.
Like, literally.
On the court, trying to come back.
I can't believe I'm talking about my childhood idol this way. Like, I loved Jordan. He was my homie. And now I'm, like, reduced to, like... I will say that I never got on with the Jordan meme. I don't get on with many memes, but the Jordan meme.
Oh, crying Jordan?
Or crying Jordan, yeah. Are you about that life?
I can't. I'm not, I mean, you know, I'm not a meme fella. I kind of like that one.
Okay. There was one really good one I saw of his face on all of the Clipper banners. I basically, I thought that that was very good.
I memes. Just, you know, I just like seeing. I, to the extent that I like it, I just like seeing an icon decimated, you know, like a crying George Washington. I'd be really into that.
What current NBA player will someday devolve into, like, after he retires, will become
Kobe?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, but he seems so self-aware.
Yeah,
That's the thing about Kobe is that I never believe any of the stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like he is, like, you know, he had an upbringing of a basketball player, and he learned to play a part. And he's mm-hmm. not, like, and he's not going to be a person who's actually devoured by his own competitiveness. You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
no.
He's a dick.
Right.
But, I mean, dicks are dicks. Like, they're dicks of every shape and size in the earth. But he's, like, in control of himself.
Well, he's released, like, 3 or 4 versions of essentially the same, like, Kobe doing work, or hard work, or it takes work. And it basically is, like, 30 minutes of Kobe Bryant in black and white, like, practicing alone with the overlay, like, you know, nobody knows what it takes to be a champion, yada, yada, yada. It's like, okay. Like, it'll be really interesting if he does do this. He joins ESPN shoot around, because I just don't see it. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm interested in Kobe's thoughts, but I'm not convinced he's interested in sharing them. But if it's going by your theory that this is all an act and Kobe is essentially an actor portraying a role, then maybe
he'd be really good at it.
Maybe he'll be, well, yeah, it's just the next stage of his sort of acting career.
LeBron seems like he has an appropriate understanding of the value that he can get out of other people.
Okay.
So I don't think it'll be him.
No, I don't either.
It seems like he gets along with and loves people.
It's hard for me to picture what dudes like Kobe and LeBron do after the game. Like, I was really surprised that Shaq did inside the NBA, and I'm even more surprised that he stuck around. I didn't pin that for him. Usually with the really great ones, it always seems like the next level under, like the ones who need you to keep remembering who they are and what they meant. Like, they're the ones who are thinking that. The ones who just need to maintain their likenesses to remain relevant, most of the times kind of fail to maintain those likenesses. So Jordan isn't like anything he was when he played. Allen Iverson isn't anything like he was when he played. And so you got these guys like Kobe and LeBron. It's like, so what are you going to do, Kobe? Are you going to... Like, you just need to maintain you. You just need to keep being you and keep your face and your body and your products coming, and you'll stay relevant. You don't need to do anything else. And maybe he'll be just, like, the first one to actually maintain his likeness, and LeBron will do the same thing, too. Because I don't see LeBron as GM. I don't see LeBron as – or Kobe as a coach. I don't see those guys, like, sitting in a suit.
I definitely don't see it for Kobe.
It's I just don't see those dudes taking those orders from, like,
ownership.
Yeah, or yeah. A production assistant somewhere, or like a producer yapping in their ear in a microphone. Like, I just don't see those dudes getting any joy out of that. And they also, I don't know. I guess we'll figure it out soon enough with Kobe. It's kind of weird to think about him retiring, but
he's also going to die.
He will also die.
Remember when Steve Nash was doing documentaries? And one of the things he said in the documentaries was, what you don't understand is that a professional athlete dies twice.
He said that.
Yeah. And although I appreciate the sentiment on a certain level, I don't know if Steve Nash quite understands what death is.
It's very funny because nobody quite ghosted their brilliant NBA career quite like Steve Nash is ghosted. Like, homie just left the room. Like, he was done. He didn't need to do a farewell tour. He didn't need to have people, like, cheer. He just ghosted.
It seemed like he wanted to be done earlier, but the Lakers said, please stay around for an arcane cap reason.
Yeah, it was that the case? If that would make a lot, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, I think at best this season he was only going to be an part-time NBA player. But I think he had intentions of playing. Yeah, if you really start to think about Steve Nash, you miss him. I miss him, at least. I thought Steve Nash was great. But he hasn't really...
He'll be great. He would be great on TV.
He would be. He would be. He would be
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he wants it, but...
Not to, like, sit around and talk about basketball. Yeah. Like, I could see him doing something else, showing up in, like, some other show somewhere, but...
He's an other interests guy.
Ugh. He is an other interests guy.
So is Shaq, I guess, but...
Oh, I mean, if your other interest is like Kevin James movies, like it's
well, that's my other interest. Are you?
Love. We all have a little blart in us, I guess.
I do. I have a lot of blart in me.
No, oh,
yeah. I really relate to that guy's
role. I relate to the. I have no idea what the movie constitutes, but no, I'm not even going down this road. I've already thought too much about Kevin James today.
Hard day at work, huh?
Yeah, dude, it was rough.
Did you have to
first,
do behavioral
first you
stuff
like,
with Kevin
you,
James?
You came at me with Steve Kerr going to the Spurs, and now you're making
oh, I'm
me,
sorry.
Made you think, me think about Paul Blart Mall Cop. What kind of madman are you?
The kind with an excellent voice.
Yeah.
Who's kind to all ladies.
A very good podcaster indeed.
An unbelievable podcast, award winning.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jacob. You can follow him on Twitter at JacobPG. Jacob BG. Let's double check. JACOB. Jacob. Oh, Jacob J. BG. That's where you can follow him on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbina Smith, that's CorbinaSmith. There is another episode on the feed already. It's Colin McGowan. I entreat you to please listen to it. Enjoy.